Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to that boy D-Late. It's your boy, Marjorie Ellis. The DR show,
okay, it's all things sports.
ATS, ATS.
Okay, it's all things sports.
ATS, ATS.
Tuesdays at 5:30,
yeah.
Big Mike and C. Miller,
yeah.
Got all your latest sports talk,
yeah.
It's about to be a thrill. Okay, it's all things sports,
ATS, ATS.
Okay, it's all things sports,
ATS, ATS.
Tuesdays at 5:30,
yeah.
Big Mike and C. Miller,
yeah.
Got all your latest sports talk,
yeah.
It's about to be a thrill.
Okay,
what's up with them Seahawks?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the new intro for All Things Sports. I know you love it. I love it. And you'll be hearing it every week. This week on All Things Sports, we'll talk a little combine talk, Jadeveon Clowney's fast, but we knew that already. We'll talk about Jim Boeheim going nuts and the possible trade of Jim Harbaugh. And we also have a special guest, Deshaun Sheed of the Seattle Seahawks, will be joining us around 4 o'clock to talk a little football, talk a little combine, et cetera, et cetera. Mr. Miller, anything this week catch your fancy in sports today?
Well, first I got to say thanks to Maestro the Illest to get us get us a little hook to lead us into the show. Much better than what we had before, so thanks to him. Sports-wise, it's been a combine week. Everybody's been watching the combine. I know that's been kind of the big talk. For me, it's kind of a lot of talk, underwear Olympics, as they like to call it. We'll see where these guys go. That's why me and Mike made sure that we did our top 10 last week just to get it out there first. Big Greg Robinson has really showed out well. And then, like Mike said, we already knew Jadeveon was going to burn it up. I didn't know maybe he would burn it up quite like he did, but that was interesting to see. We're getting deeper into the heart of college basketball. There's only a few weeks left. I've been trying to watch a little bit closer. I'm getting my game up a little bit. Been watching some off-conference games, some Mountain West, and Wichita State, and some different things so that I can really be ready for when it comes down to tournament time and have my ducks in a row there. So it's been a little bit of a boring time in sports, but we're starting to come back around, and spring, flowers are blooming and different things like that, so it's time to go.
All right. We're going to take our first commercial break, and then we'll be back. We'll talk combine on All Things Sports.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at 58 years old. 8 years into the disease was when all the light went out.
For me, it was heart-wrenching.
Looking into the eyes of somebody with Alzheimer's sometimes, you just don't see the person's soul is like gone.
And it takes a toll on everyone. I mean, it's a depressing disease to watch unfold before your eyes.
She actually thought those of us who were caring for her and who loved her most were her worst enemies.
More and more responsibilities fell on my shoulders.
This disease just ravages a family.
It changes your life.
The magnitude of it is indescribable. My mother taught me to be in the moment.
We have to live in the moment with them.
And I'm going to be with that person right now in this moment, wherever she is.
Now is the moment. If we work together, we can stop this epidemic.
Contact Bright Focus and learn more.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Wait.
Mom, what?
What?
Huh?
Hold
What'd
on.
What'd
you
say? Wait a sec, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back on All Things Sports. Mr. Miller was remembering, recalling Janet Jackson from the Super Bowl with that song. You know, he's a married man, but every now and then his mind goes in the gutter. But anyway, I digress. We're talking combine, who was impressive, who wasn't. Winners, losers, from what I read, I haven't really watched the combine because I'm not big on watching men in shorts. But I heard the biggest winner was Greg Robinson, biggest loser was Michael Sam. What did you hear?
Wasn't Michael Sam the biggest loser before the combine started?
I mean, depending on what you think, but yeah, you know, I've heard that. Well, we all know he ran a 4.9, or his agility drills were terrible. As you said, with his hip movement, there's no way he could be moved to linebacker. We already knew he was too small to play DN, so.
Right. I don't know if you heard. Yeah, he had the second worst bench press of any defensive lineman as well.
Yeah.
So he didn't test. He wasn't fast nor strong. So
I've heard theories. A lot of theories have come out since then. I heard a theory yesterday that maybe the reason he came out was to possibly give himself one more draft chip to play. If he does, you know, if he starts to fall, maybe the team looking for publicity, maybe the I don't know how you put it, but people out there will, you know, oh, my God, he's falling because he's of what he said. He'll have people on the side. What do you think about that? Do you think that the reason he came out before the combine was it planned because of this? Do you think that he knew maybe that he'd be this bad? What do you think about any of it?
For me, that's just a little bit too diabolical. I don't think he really had a master plan like that. I think he just wanted to come out, and we've kind of chopped that up a little bit. I respect that, and it was something he wanted to do and something he felt like he had to do, and I think he did it. I don't think it was a part of a bigger plan as far as, you know, and we've seen that some endorsements and different things have came his way, but for me, he couldn't have known he was going to test as bad as he did. He's probably feeling a little bit of pressure, too. He knows all eyes are on him, and I'm sure when you do go into the, quote, underwear Olympics, I'm sure knowing that all eyes are on you and you know, you're kind of the big draw all of a sudden, that probably put a little bit of extra pressure on him. So we'll see if he can get a little more ready by his pro day. But, yeah, I can't go conspiracy theory there. I like to go conspiracy theory, but I just don't see it. I know as far as another winners and losers, Teddy Bridgewater, he ended up not running. He said he was going to run right up until it was time to hit the line, and then he ended up backing out. And I know a few of the players were kind of calling foul on that, saying, you know, but for me, does it really matter how fast the quarterback is, whether he runs or not at the combine? I don't know. I thought that was a little overblown myself.
I mean, depending on what kind of offense you run, I don't think any offense you really need a fast quarterback. You probably need, you know, maybe someone who can scramble a little bit, but no, like speedy quarterback is overrated. And you know, I know some people were making a big deal out of Blake Bortles running the 4.9. Like, I think they said, you know, how he throws is, to me, is the most important thing you're going to look at in a quarterback. So, no, none of that means anything.
Well, one position where speed does matter is cornerback, and the corners ran today. Did you happen to see who ran the fastest 40 for corners?
I did not.
Give me a guess.
Justin Gilbert.
It was Justin Gilbert. He ran a 4.37 today. Burned it up, so he may. I know we talked last week that he would probably be the first corner off the board, and I think that probably helps solidify him, because that is a position where I do want to see speed. And
right.
I don't. Denard from Michigan State ran a 4.51, and that's, you know, that scares me off a little bit as somebody that's sitting in the top 10.
Counties 4.44 mean anything to you?
It means he's faster than 85% of the league.
All right.
He's going to be a beast. I mean, I think he has. Many people have challenged his work ethic. You know, obviously I can't speak to that, but I think aside from work ethic, I think he's a beast. He has so much God-given ability. Some people have called him lazy. I don't really see it.
See, some people are making a big deal about what Steve Spurrier said. Steve Spurrier never said he wasn't a hard worker. What he said was he wasn't as hard a worker as Marcus Lattimore. But he never said he wasn't a hard worker.
And, I mean, it's just human nature. He knew coming into this year he was somebody that could have been a top five pick last year had he been allowed to come out. And, you know how many people were in his ear as far as don't get injured, don't – you know, that probably took away from a little something on the field. And then they schemed him, too. And so I think his numbers went down, and I think he probably played a little tentatively trying not to get hurt. But I think he's going to come to the league and do big things. I mean, I think he's transcendent. I think he's, you know, right there with a Julius Peppers type or a – Dwight Freeney, for example. You can't teach that kind of speed. I mean, I don't know if anyone, if you caught the video of Clowney running that 40. I mean, that is just, he's blazing. That's fastest 40 time, faster than any quarterback that's ran since 2006 except RG3. The corners that ran today, he would have been right in the middle of the pack of the corners. So, I mean, for someone that's 270 pounds to run like a corner, yeah, that's impressive.
And just to kind of pile on the Javion Clowney talk, it's just, you know, we saw, like you said, last year he didn't want to play. Let's be honest about that. And his numbers showed it, and his effort showed it. But, the year where he wanted to play, we saw he could rev up that motor when he needs to. I don't have any questions about Javion Clowney. I know last week in my mock draft I had him slipping, but not because anything he's done, and after this week, I would probably change my mock draft, but more because I think people are going to reach for quarterbacks as we see moving forward. Like I was telling Miller off air, excuse me, I was just going basically on what I think teams will do and what I think Jacksonville will do. More importantly, so I think Clowney, I can see the Texans taking him in one and putting him with, Watt in the middle and him on the end, and that defense will wreak havoc.
Yeah, no, that could be. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the draft there.
And then get your quarterback maybe in the high second round, like the Derek Carrs of the world might still be there in the second round. So,
could you ever see them bringing Schott back?
I think you would. You would really make your fan base irate if you brought Schott back. I can even see going free agent quarterback over bringing Schott back. I think he's worn out his welcome in Houston. Like, he was supposed to be, when they brought him in, he was quote-unquote the one thing that was going to put them over the top, and I think in the last year he's only made that team worse.
Yeah, I can't. That was just a question I had. I can't see him bringing Schott back either. So we'll see where they go. They got, it's nice to be able to sit at number one and have some options, as opposed to maybe the last year's draft where we've seen the three tackles go off the board early and there really wasn't a lot of talent sitting there.
Right.
I think they can really make a splash whether they go offense or defense.
Yeah, so definitely. I think the Texans are kind of sitting in the catbird seat. I think, if you have a choice between, I think I'm not really sold on this guy, but, you got Manziel sitting there, you got Bridgewater sitting there, you got Clowney sitting there. Heck, I mean, you really can't go wrong with those three at the top of the draft.
I love the Johnny Football Talk. I'm excited for next year. I can't wait for this guy to get on the field, because there is such a difference of opinion on this guy. It kind of reminds you of the Tebow talk.
Right.
And, more people than not were right about Tebow. I think a lot of people didn't think Tebow translated, and that kind of ended up working out that way. But
if I remember correctly, you were one of the people who thought Tebow would do well in the NFL.
No, you're wrong. If you remember correctly, I said uh-huh. He was going to be a high pick. I never said look for greatness from this guy. I said high pick.
Okay, you were right about that. He was a high pick. I thought, it was a while ago. Maybe my, I'm getting old. My memory isn't as good as it used to be. So maybe you didn't say that, but I think you're on the bandwagon, man. I remember you being on the T-boat a few times, didn't you? That wasn't you?
I have never T-Bow. That is a faulty story. So let's get that out of the way. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Football, it's a year-round thing. We're leading the show off with combine. We said we weren't going to do that, but we got the baseball preview coming up next week, so we can't really ruin too much baseball.
Right.
But yeah, anything else? I mean, you know, combine. I've heard. You know, I listen to many different radio shows. I try to do it for some research purposes and just because I like listening to sports talk. And there's a lot of people that are into the combine. Honestly, you know, I definitely do my reading, but I don't like watching it. I guess let me ask you this. Would you rather watch the combine or the Pro Bowl?
Wow, those are bad choices. But if I had to make one, I would say Pro Bowl.
See, and I would too. And I listen to a show. I'm not going to mention it or anything, but – it's a three-man show, and all three of them said they would rather watch the combine. I do disagree with that.
I'm not. I don't really, you know, me and you are big, you know, watch the tape guys. I don't think there's anything at the time. Like, if I'm a scout or a GM, et cetera, I don't think there's anything that's really happening at the combine that's going to change my mind if I'm already set on a player. Like I said, we knew going in, Jadeveon Clowney's fast. We knew that. That's not news. He didn't do the bench press reps they thought, but that doesn't change my opinion of him at all.
Right, he's got long arms. We all know if you ever, you know, it's hard to bench.
Yeah, it's hard to bench press and do sit-ups. Push-ups along your arms are. We know that. So, I don't think anything happens at the combine that should change. If you're a good scout, if you're a good GM, nothing that happens at the combine should change your mind.
And if you're sitting at like 8th through 15th, maybe of your given position, I think it can be beneficial or it can be hurtful, just like we talked about Michael Sam. If you know, you can project him wherever you want him before, aside from all the off-the-field stuff. You know, say he projected as the fifth rounder, and then he comes out and, like you said, runs a 4.9 or whatever it was and does, you know, whatever, 16 reps or, you know, whatever his numbers were. Well, that hurt, I mean, regardless. So it does help and hurt, but the top 10 guys or the top first round or, you know, the top five guys at a given position – it's probably, like you said, we've already got enough film on those guys. We already knew they weren't going in. Some of these guys, I mean, you heard of this guy. I'm sure you never heard the name before. Now you know Dree Archer. He had the fastest 40 time of anybody at the combine.
Right.
That helped the stock. I mean, wherever he was before, he's rated higher than he was before.
I remember a few years ago, it helped Chris Johnson's stock. He ran, 4.2-ish, and that ran, he went up the draft board. So, yeah, I guess it does help. Certain positions it helps, but for the most part, you got to look at the tape. If you're a GM and you're not watching tape over and over again all the time, you know, then you're not doing your job. So,
right, that's really the only. That sounds like a Jacksonville or Cleveland Brown move right there, Matt Millen. If you're out there listening,
yeah,
I'm sure he took a lot of his info from the combine because he wasn't getting much tape.
Was Charles Rogers? Is that the name?
Ernie Sims.
Oh, man.
Need I say more?
Heck, I would go as far as say, like you said, with Jacksonville. Like
Ernie Sims was a big combine guy. That's why he got drafted.
He was a big combine guy.
Fast as all get out, couldn't play.
Charles Rogers was fast. He was a drug addict. You got to do your homework, man.
Do your homework.
Like, Justin Blackman, drug addict. Do your homework.
Justin Blackman can play, though.
He can play. But is he going to be on the field anytime soon?
Yeah.
I thought he got suspended for a year.
He did, but he's going to come back midseason next year and play day one.
Yeah.
He's talented.
I'm not saying he's not talented.
Charles Rogers was like a – I think Blackman smokes weed. Charles Rogers smoked crack. There's a difference there, too.
There is a difference there, but the league doesn't distinguish between the two.
No, you're right.
If you smoke weed, you're going to get suspended.
Crack's gonna influence your on the field performance.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing Justin Blackman to Charles Rogers. I'm comparing what they've done and why they weren't on the field.
Well, I'm just saying
Charles Rogers wasn't nearly as talented as Justin Blackman, but
I'd take Justin Blackman on my team today.
If I would take him on my team if he stopped smoking weed.
Right. Well, he's gonna have to, or he's gonna be out of the league.
Right. So, I won't get into my social commentary on weed. But I will say, you know, weed is a harder one to kick, like whether you know it. Anyway, I digress.
Well, okay, it is harder to kick, but you know, I don't think it ruins, you know, it's not ruining careers like doing harder drugs would ruin a career.
And I agree. I just think he needs to man up. He needs to stop driving drunk. He needs to stop smoking weed. He needs to play football. Like, I agree. He's talented. He can ball out when he's on the field. But all the things he's done the last, like, those things are just going to keep him off the field. And as long as he's not on the field, he's a bust. Right?
No, that's true. I mean, I can't go. Well, you're right. If he didn't play again, say he, for whatever reason, he Ricky Williams and tested positive again and was suspended for a lifetime and he had to reapply or whatever. However, their testing policy works. Yeah, he's a bust if he doesn't get back on the field. But he's already put up good numbers when he's been on the field. So I think as long as he comes back, you can't go bust there.
I agree. Well, I'm not going bust yet. I'm going bust. Based on, I mean, I'm not going bust at all. I guess what I'm saying is I need to see him stay clean, get on the field, play like he's played. And until then, you know, he's a bust.
All right. Well, that's fine. Well, we got to get some more positivity. We got a Super Bowl champ coming on the show today.
Right.
We can't, you know, we sound a little negative right now.
Real quick before we go to the break, any comment on the perceived or potential Harbaugh trade to Cleveland? Like, why would he want to go there, first of all? But secondly, like,
he grew up a Browns fan.
Right. I mean,
well,
I
don't know if you've heard, I don't know how much detail you've heard about the situation. I guess him and the GM were seen at the con. They're not talking to each other.
Right, I heard he's not getting along with the GM.
It's been kind of his MO since he's been a coach. I mean, he doesn't stay anywhere for too long.
And you're right, he's not real personable. Like, there are people who generally don't dig him, but we've talked about this. He might be the best coach in football. Like, you can't.
Right. I think when you start looking at NFL coaches, I mean, he's right up there with the Belichick and the Pete Carroll.
Right.
And you know, I got to go Pete Carroll ahead of Harbaugh just because he just got the Super Bowl championship
right.
this year, and you know, pretty much outcoached him in the playoff game.
No, I'll agree with that. I'm just saying that, you know, San Francisco of all people should know the gap between there was Walsh. And they won with Seifert, and the gap between Seifert and Harbaugh.
Well, it was big time.
It was big time.
I mean, you had some Singletaries.
So they should know more than
Harry
anyone. Yeah, they should know more than anyone how getting that right guy is important. I wouldn't just let him walk. I mean,
right, and I wouldn't either. But you know, there's always gonna, you know, somebody that has success like a Harbaugh, like a Carroll. Every time you have success where you didn't have a lot of player control before. With success comes, hey, I want more control.
Right.
If you have a GM that's going to fight you on that, that's going to cause a rift. So.
No, I agree. I guess all, you know, the famous line, the famous Bill Parcells line is, if they're going to let you cook the food, they should let you buy the groceries. I guess I agree with that, but you know, GMs, they put them in place for a reason. They
right.
do their
and,
job. The coaches do their job.
Look at the draft for Harbaugh a few years ago. I know he's got, you know, some Kaepernick and some different things since he's been there, but a lot of those guys came from a different regime that he's coaching.
Right.
They had the draft where they took A.J. Jenkins and LaMichael James, and, you know, they've had a few tough drafts to where, you know, I'm sure he's saying, hey, let me pick these guys. I don't know the GM's name. I'm sorry for my research isn't quite good, but you can't let me pick the guys. He's picking horrible guys that aren't even contributing. So.
A.J. Jenkins, where'd that guy go to school?
Illinois.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Not the U. But also, yeah, before we close down football for the day, we're going to come back and do the interview. But they're talking about we got the Super Bowl coming out to Arizona next year. They're talking about moving the Pro Bowl to the
that,
host
yeah.
site. So you kind of have a week-long. I think it's a great idea. I hope that they do it just, you know, only because I'll benefit off. If they had the Pro Bowl in my city, I definitely would attend. But what do you think about that? I mean, I think that's a great idea, having a week-long celebration. You start the Sunday. You have the Sunday before the Super Bowl is the Pro Bowl. You have everybody in town. Now you have all the big stars in town. And I know those guys like the trip out to Hawaii and some different things. But is that a good idea? And do you think the players will sign off on that?
I think it's a great idea. And I think it's a great idea for the city. And I also think it's a great idea. I think it can only work in a warm weather city. I don't think it would work this year in New York. I don't think a lot of players, Pro Bowl players, want to go to New York and be cold for a week. But, yeah, in a warm weather
city. Well, that's true, but what about as far as just being an ambassador to the sport, though? I mean, why couldn't it work in a cold weather city? You know, so what? You made the Pro Bowl the year it's in New York. You know, suck it up and go.
It'd have to be
playing in the cold is another story, though.
I'm just saying, I think that if, let's say, if you had done that in New York, you would have had a lot more people, quote unquote, I'm injured, I can't play in the Pro Bowl. You'd have had a lot more Pro Bowl replacements in a cold weather city than you probably would in a warm weather city. And you're right, they should suck it up and go, but we all know that's not what happens. I didn't even watch the Pro Bowl this year, but there's a lot of players that aren't going to that Pro Bowl in New York that would come to that Pro Bowl out here in Arizona. So,
well, I hope at least for a one-year experiment, I think it's a good idea and a step in the right direction.
I
like that
idea.
The NFL is trying to save the Pro Bowl. And I'll tell you this, I didn't watch a ton of the Pro Bowl this year either, but, you know, I've watched Pro Bowls in the past, and I've seen how sparse Aloha Stadium is filled. If they had the Pro Bowl here, this is just a guess, but I think you're packing the house.
You're at least 50,000, at least.
I think you get more than that out here.
I mean,
but
I think you're right. I'm saying bottom.
Yeah.
You get more than you do at Aloha Stadium. I think that you're right. I think that a week-long celebration of football would be great for the city. I think it'd be, you know, whatever city's in. I think it'd be great for football, and I think you're right. It immediately puts more – I'd be more interested in the Pro Bowl just because it's here in my city. So.
Well, Roger Goodell doesn't listen to our show, but Roger – put the Pro Bowl in Phoenix next year, 2015.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we should have Deshaun Sheed, and we'll ask him about, you know, the Legion of Boom, Richard Sherman, and everything Seahawks. So stay with us, and we'll be back.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
All right, we're back live on All Things Sports. We have on the line Deshaun Sheed from the Seattle Seahawks. How you doing, Mr. Sheed?
I'm doing good.
All right. We're talking a little bit about the, like I said, we know you're with the Seahawks. We're talking a little bit. We read your bio. Week 7, you had a pretty tough decision to make as far as whether to go to the Minnesota Vikings and be on the active roster or stay with the Seahawks. What made you decide to stay with the Seahawks?
Oh, man, yeah. It was a big decision that I had to make within a matter of 1 hour. So I was on transitioning between going from a special teams meeting and going into a position meeting. And, I mean, there was a couple of factors that led to me staying with the Seattle Seahawks. But it, like I said, it was definitely a big decision because it was just as equal amount of factors of going to the plant for the Vikings. There's benefits both ways. But one of my decisions to stay with the Seahawks was, number one, I was in the secondary, which was the best secondary in the NFL. We got all-pro corner, all-pro free safety, and all-pro strong safety. And I played all three positions. I played corner for a while. I played strong safety, and I played free safety. Mm-hmm. So one of my main decisions was staying was what benefit myself and my career, prolong my career, and I felt like I gained so much knowledge and just better myself by just playing with those type of caliber of players. So that was definitely one of my main decisions.
No, you're right. Now, being behind guys, you know, all-pro guys, Pro Bowl-type guys, a lot of people would have, you know, decided to go just for a better shot at playing. Like, did that ever cross your mind?
I mean, like I said, there's benefits both ways. I would have been on the active roster if I would have went straight over to Minnesota. I would have been on the active roster immediately and would have been playing immediately and would have been on the field. But also looked at facts that we had a chance to play or make it to the Super Bowl. And not only just was it just the Super Bowl, I had the opportunity to be a part of history. If we won that Super Bowl at the time, I'd be part of history, the first team in Seattle to – you know what I'm saying, to win a Super Bowl, the first one ever. No Super Bowl, no football team in Seattle, or the Seattle Seahawks, had never won the Super Bowl. So to have the opportunity to be a part of history, and I knew we were headed to the playoffs. At the time, the Vikings were on the road of not making it to the playoffs and not having the opportunity. So little things such as that, and the Seattle Seahawks, they knew what I can do. They knew I could play corner. They knew I could play free safety, and they knew I could possibly play strong safety, which I ended up playing two series at strong safety in the Super Bowl. So there was definitely factors that went into my decision.
Right. Now, Mike, tell us a little bit about your post-Super Bowl, kind of how are things different?
How are things different now that you're a Super Bowl champion? How's your offseason going? And kind of tell us. How the Super Bowl has changed your life a little bit?
Oh, I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, you get people from elementary school contacting you. You get people from, you get new family members. You get all that good stuff that come along with it. But I've definitely been embracing it and enjoying it. My mayor contacted me from the city of Palmdale, where I'm from. I'm originally from Palmdale, California. The mayor contacted me, and he wants to congratulate me at a city council meeting, so down in Palmdale, so things like that. I've been doing, meeting a lot of people, traveling, and it's just been a wonderful experience, especially out here in Seattle. The 12 men out here, oh, man, it's crazy. You go out here, they've been partying. They're still partying out here.
we ran into Seattle fans in Vegas one time, and those people are crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're definitely diehard fans. You see, I mean, we never won a Super Bowl out here before, but every game sold out. Fans are partying. You got fans. We went to everywhere we traveled, we seen it was just as loud as the away stadium when we went into their stadium. So, 12th man is definitely out here right now. So, to be able to bring this home to them and bring this home to this city, oh, yeah, it was a wonderful opportunity.
Oh, all right. Now, we've heard a lot of things about Pete Carroll being a player's coach. What was it like playing for Pete Carroll? What kind of guy is he, and, you know, what did you take away from being under Pete Carroll?
Pete Carroll, I mean, he's definitely a wonderful coach. He's the type of coach players want to come in and play for him. It's not necessarily about the money all the time. I mean, you do get this type of players, but playing for Pete Carroll is like you want to play for him. It's a coach. He's definitely a player's coach. I mean, from the whole organization, Pete Carroll brings in the whole organization, like from the cooks down to the coaching staff to the actual staff of the organization. Everybody is just just amazing. And I think it's all through Pete Carroll. So, I mean, it's definitely amazing playing for Pete.
Now, I hope my research is correct. Were you recruited to Portland State? Were you recruited by Jerry Glanville?
Yep. And Jerry Glanville was my coach at Portland State for 3 years.
Okay, and tell me a little bit. I'm a Big Sky alum myself. Tell me a little bit about playing in the Big Sky, and maybe compare just what type of guy Jerry Glanville was to play for.
Big Sky. I mean, definitely had an amazing experience playing in the Big Sky. I came. Tim Walsh was a coach that actually recruited me, but my transition going into Portland State. During that transition from high school to college, that's when Jerry Glanville came in. But playing in the Big Sky, I mean, it was definitely fun. I mean, the Big Sky is definitely one of the toughest one division AA conferences out there. So it was competition definitely all around. And Jerry Glanville, he kind of brought that NFL atmosphere into Portland State. So I felt like I got a little taste of it before actually making it all the way to the NFL. But it was definitely a grind out there. Coming from a smaller school, it was definitely a grind to make it into the NFL because people look at 1AA schools as, oh, they're a smaller division school. So people, you know, a lot of people don't make it. A lot of them go undrafted, which I did. I came in as an undrafted free agent. But it was definitely a grind coming from Portland State. But I had a real good experience.
That's good. Now, with the combine going on, what was your experience like? Like you said, you came from a smaller school. Did you go to the combine? What was your, like, how did the NFL come and find you? You know, we saw you were undrafted free agent. Like, what was your process like trying to make it to the NFL?
Well, I mean, I definitely wanted to make the combine. I mean, not a lot of people before me went. Actually, Julius Thomas, who plays for Denver Broncos, went to my school as well. He went to the combine previously. But that was one person in all my career in college. So I was hoping I just went to the combine. I just knew I was going to go to the combine. At the end of the day, I just didn't go. So I definitely wanted to go. But so the next best thing was to show up and show out at my pro day. So
how was your pro day? Like, did you have a lot of teams down there looking at you? How did the Seahawks contact you? What did they – when they came and talked to you, like, did you have a lot of teams like buying for you as a free agent?
Yeah, I mean, especially like I said, coming from a small division school, you normally don't get a lot of scouts that come out to the combines. But during my pro day, we actually got a good amount of scouts out there. I think it was about 17 to 18 scouts. Seattle Seahawks was definitely one of them. So, I mean, I performed well. I mean, it was cold out there. It was cold. You know, we ran outside in the rain. Against the wind, but you can think about them type of things because at the end of the day, whatever numbers that they got, that's what they was going to put down on paper. So.
Right. Well, my girlfriend wouldn't be happy if I didn't ask you at least one Richard Sherman question. She saw the Richard Sherman interview, and now she thinks he's the best thing since milk in the carton. So what's it like playing with Richard Sherman?
Oh, man, it's great playing with Richard Sherman. Every day, you know what I'm saying, he's saying something funny out there. He's dancing on the practice field, just having fun out there. But you know at the end of the day, like, he's about his business. When it's time to lock up, he locks up. I mean, he's a very smart player. He graduated from Stanford, so that says a lot in itself. So definitely a smart player. I learned a lot from him as a corner, as a player, and just as a man. So he definitely – like a big brother out there. We're such a tight group, the Legion of Boom, like we're everybody's just a tight group on and off the field, and we learn so much from each other. So, like I said, it was one of my decisions, staying with the Seattle Seahawks was definitely that backfield.
We're going to get you going on this. Just tell us, what's your outlook for next year? Are you back with Seattle? I don't know how the whole practice squad thing works, but like what's your outlook in the offseason? What you looking at for training camp for next year?
Well, I mean, my outlook right now is I definitely plan on making the team. Like, every year is a constant grind. Even though you sign a contract, somebody signed a contract for however many years. Like, I signed a 3-year contract. My third year will be next year. But it doesn't really matter what contract you sign. You still got to come up, show out, and you got to make the team basically every year. It's a tryout every year. So now, I mean, I'm embracing this Super Bowl, and we won the Super Bowl. I mean, it feels good, and I'm definitely enjoying it. But at the end of the day, I still got to come out next year and be on my grind and make the team next year. Like I said, I was on practice squad for 2 years, so I haven't made the team originally from day one, and so I still have a goal. It's definitely one of my goals. And so now it's next week I start grinding again, get back to it, and get back in the game to prepare for next year.
Yeah. Well, no matter what happens, they can't take that ring from you, man. You'll always be known as the Sean G Super Bowl champion. We'd like to thank you for coming on All Things Sports with Big Mike and Steve Miller. And hopefully when you're in Phoenix, man, we'll see you down the road.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you.
All right, talk to you.
All right, that was Deshaun Sheed, Super Bowl champion. We'll be back with our college basketball talk and a little thing, some other things moving forward on All Things Sports after this quick commercial break. We'll be back.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Good morning, students, and welcome to Career Day. I hope you're excited to hear about all the great things you can do when you grow up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I'm super excited to introduce my dad because he's my hero. When I was little, my dad was away a lot. But I was okay with that because he was doing this really important work driving ambulances in Iraq. Now he's at home, which is great for me because I get to see him every day now. And he's still the biggest hero I know because he tells all the ambulances and the fire engines where to go and rescue people when there's an emergency. I'm so proud of him. He's awesome. He's my dad.
If your service-connected disability prevents you from continuing in your civilian career, Voc Rehab offers counseling, training with a living allowance, education, and other services to help prepare you for your next mission.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, All Things Sports. Jim Boeheim flipped out this week. Couldn't get the jacket off, didn't know whether he wanted to take it off, put it on. He's out in the middle of the court. Question, did Jim Boeheim cost his team the game? Miller.
No, he didn't. I would have flipped out the same way. That wasn't a charge.
That was a bad call.
That was a horrible call.
That's a Duke home cooking call.
They're going down anyway. You know, I mean, he probably shouldn't have done what he did, but really, I was kind of with Dickie V at the time. Dickie V was like, no, don't take him off.
And yeah.
I kind of felt the same way. Like, that was a horrible call. Just let him. He needed to get off the court, though. I guess he did a little too much. But I think Jimmy knew that it was over right then, and he just kind of wanted to make his peace. And he knows he'll see those guys again. They're putting together a pretty good rivalry the first two games.
Yeah, definitely.
They've been good. So, you know, first year in the ACC for Syracuse, and they're going to see each other again in the tournament. I think that's probably the two best teams. Yeah, I know you got Virginia sitting in there saying different, but. I don't think he cost him. You know, I enjoyed seeing it. I like stuff like that. So for me, pump your team up. Let them know, hey, last time, you know, next time you're in the locker room, you can let them know, hey, last time we got a job. It's time to go. It's a motivation technique for next time. Now, if he does that in an NCAA tournament game or an ACC tournament or something like that where you're costing them championships, you know, then I may call foul. But in a regular season game, I think you can use that down the line.
Well, let me ask you this, though. When C.J. Fair gets the foul, down by two. It's player control foul, so Duke's not shooting free throws. They inbound, you're probably going to foul. If Duke misses one of those free throws, it's a one-possession game. You get the ball with a chance to go down and send that game in overtime. So,
I see that. Would you have held your cool there?
Don't get me wrong. I don't think he lost the game for him. He did mess up their opportunity to possibly tie the game or win the game, but – no, that was and you know how I feel about Duke. That was a typical, like, if you play Duke in Cameron Indoor Stadium, you're not getting a call under 10 seconds. You know that. Maybe he's, like you said, maybe he's greasing the refs for down the road. Like, maybe he's trying to, like, you know, put his fist down, letting you know, like, hey, this is what happens. But he's not getting that call.
He's a veteran. I mean, he's one of the top college basketball coaches of all time. I gotta believe there's a little method to his madness.
Yeah,
it was fun to watch.
That was funny. Like, when he had the cone up over his head and didn't know what he wanted.
Couldn't get it off.
Yeah. that was some good stuff. So, moving forward, so Florida's the new number one. Do you like Florida? Like, what chance do you think Florida has moving forward going into the tournament?
Florida's nice. They're good at guard, which, you know, we've talked about on past shows. You got to be good at guard in the tournament. And to win a championship in college hoops, it's a tournament. So it's not, you know, it's not a best of seven. It's not anything like that. It's can you shoot for a couple weeks? And I think Florida matches up nicely. I think they got some bigs that can play defense, and I think they got some guards that can shoot. And I think that's kind of the recipe in the tournament. So, you know, as many games as they've won in a row, they're the deserving number one. And, you know, Billy Deeks is coach, too, so he's got a couple under his belt. And they're going to be tough to beat. I think there's a couple other teams that definitely give them a run, Kansas, Louisville, and I think there's a couple of, you know, dark horses as there always is. Nobody discounts Wichita State. I think they're balling better than ever, and I think they proved they can do it last year. But, yeah, I think unless you can give me a different argument, I think Florida's the number one team.
All right, real quick before we move into that, we got a call from friend of the show, Mr. D. Slate. Mr. D. Slate, you're on with All Things Sports. How you doing?
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not too much, guys. What's going on with you?
You hear the Deshaun Sheed interview?
No, I didn't get a chance to check it out. I'm gonna check it out a little later. How did it go with him?
It went good, man. I'm a fan. Seems like a hardworking kid. Had a lot of good things to say. He's living it up as a Super Bowl champ. You know, he said the mayor of his hometown has been in touch, and he's going to city council meetings to be honored. And, you know, he just a lot of positive things to say. I enjoyed listening to him talk.
Well, that's what's up. You know, I was just looking, you know, at, you know, some, you know, his profile and just looking at some of the, you know, some of the things that, you know, they were talking about, you know, I mean, you know, of course, congratulations, you know, to the Seahawks. I know a lot of people were rooting for them, and, you know, usually the people who like to root for the underdogs, you know, were rooting for them. And, you know, to all the Bronco fans out there, you know, I mean, you hate to hear the classic cliche, but, I mean, unfortunately, defense wins games. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong to be said about the type of offense, you know, that the Broncos have, but, you know, unfortunately, defense wins games, and, you know, they're just going to have to, you know, step it up and, you know, bring the pain again next year. Hopefully they can kind of get over that hump. But, again, a big shout-out to Deshaun Shee for calling in today, and, again, congratulations to the Seahawks. And, unfortunately, to all the other teams in the NFL, the Green Bay Packers will be there next year to claim pretty much what's always been there, is just the Vince Lombardi Trophy. So it really don't matter who wins the Super Bowl. It always comes back to Green Bay. So I just wanted all the fans to know that. You know.
I'm going to have to Chris Carter you there, and come on, man.
Too much, man. Too much. I don't think you're right, and we'll have to discuss that later. But, yeah, Green Bay, you saw how bad your team was after your quarterback went down. Like, you're a one-man show, man.
Yeah, they were looking pretty raggedy, man, when Aaron Rodgers went down, man. But if I want to say anything real about them, I think their biggest problem is probably the secondary. You know, I mean, they definitely know how to score points and they definitely know how to play. I mean, but you know, the problem was they kept letting opposing teams, you know, come in and score big points on them. So I think if they can fix their secondary issue and get some really great guys in there in the secondary, you know, they should be a pretty good team to reckon with in the coming season. But I mean, that just depends on what they do in the off season for you know, the free agency as well as the NFL draft coming up. So I'm looking forward to the NFL draft in April, and definitely can't wait to see what's going to go down.
Well, don't tune in April because the draft's in May this year.
I made that mistake too, man. Don't feel bad.
I got Big Mike on the same thing, but the NFL moved the draft back this year as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they put a little more time in. They want a little more time for free agency and some different things, so they pushed it back a couple weeks. So we're looking at early May for the draft this year. It'll be the first time.
Oh, wow. They really got the NFL. They don't have the NFL fans going crazy. They're pushing it back to April. I know. Well, that's cool. I mean, I know they got to do what they got to do. I just want to say also congratulations to some of those guys in the combine, man, who came out in the combine and wowed, you know, the scouts. I know Manziel did well. You know, Clowney did well. I mean, quite a few guys did well in the combine, man. So it looks like it's probably going to be a really good draft coming up, man. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a good draft this year, kind of an off year last year, and I think a lot of teams are going to be able to really improve their teams this year, especially in those first couple rounds. So, and then, you know, we've seen with what the Seahawks did this year, you got to make some late round picks and be able to develop your guys too. So, you know, we kind of learned that from Deshaun Shee talking a little bit about he kind of lent an ear to the tightness of that team and the Legion of Boom and. You know, how those guys really stuck together through everything. And I think you kind of seen that with Denver. You know, they had things go wrong early and some of the team fragmented and were casting blame on different things and stuff like that. So, you know, you really got to build your team from the ground up. And, you know, as a Lions fan, I know that because we've tried to take shortcuts for many years. So I think it's NFC. It's going to be tough this year. There's a lot of good teams. We're all NFC fans, and it's going to be tough, man. The Seahawks. I'm a little worried, man. They seem like a real tight knit group, and it's going to be tough to topple the champs next year.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I heard you guys talking about what you guys were talking about college basketball coming up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got you know, the March Madness getting ready to start next month. Who's the number two team going into March Madness?
Well, I mean, going to, like Syracuse, they took a little step back by losing too, but I really like. We're just talking right before you came on there. I really like Florida. They're a team full of seniors and juniors. A lot of times, come tournament time, those guys are tournament tested. So, I like Florida. Dukes. As much as I don't like to say it, it's getting better every week.
I don't like to discount the defending champs, just like we're talking NFL. you got Louisville as the defending champ, and they've won quite a few games in a row, and they're kind of flying under the radar right now. So I think Rick Pitino, he's gonna have his team ready to go come March Madness.
You know, I think the amazing thing about college basketball, especially coming up for March Madness, when you think, you know, one team is dominating and you know, taking over certain brackets and, you know, and trying to make their way to the finals, you know, you always end up seeing some team that you wouldn't even expect to be winning games and, you know, playing their heart out. And, you know, I know it's probably going to be, you know, two or three Cinderella teams that's probably going to come out of nowhere. And March Madness, going into the NCAA finals. But I can't wait to really see. I'm always a big fan of the underdogs, man, and the guys coming in and shocking everybody and playing their hearts out. And, you know, so I'm kind of anxious to see who's those two or three teams are going to be this year going into the the March Madness and going into the NCAA finals.
No doubt, and that's how it earned its name as March Madness, and it's a time of the year for Cinderellas. And you're right, there's somebody that we aren't talking about, that nobody's talking about on any show. And they're gonna be in the Final Four. We've had George Masons and Butlers in the past, and there's gonna be somebody that comes out of nowhere. So, I love this time of year. It's starting to. We've been in kind of a downtime for sports, and it's starting to come around. And as soon as March kicks off, it's gonna be basketball season for me.
Absolutely.
And real quick, don't. I was gonna say this earlier, but. We haven't mentioned Kansas yet, man. Don't sleep on Kansas. They're getting hot at the right time. They've won a few in a row, and Wiggins is starting to play well. And don't sleep on that team. They're well coached. I think if Kansas is a two seed in your bracket, you're in trouble.
And then I'm going to give you New Mexico as well. They're the team that's probably not ranked in the top 25 right now, but they're a team that's good at guard and got some big guys that can really play. They got an Australian kid that's 6'10", and really skilled, can shoot inside, outside. So be on the lookout for New Mexico as well.
Well, I can't wait to see how it's going to go down. I mean, I definitely like to watch March Madness and, check out, some of the teams just coming out of nowhere and surprising everybody. So definitely good luck to all the teams that's going to make it in the brackets this year. And also, before I go, I just want to send a big shout out to Maestro the Illest for supplying us with the new intro song for the ATS show. The intro song is hot, and I just want to tell Maestro, appreciate you, man, and definitely can't wait to get the interview set up for you on the network.
Yeah,
man.
I was going to ask you, you're going to be able to get him on the network?
Yeah, he's we got him set up in a couple of weeks to interview him. So everything's all set up, man. And definitely just want to send a shout out to him, to Maestro for hooking us up with the new intro song. So the new intro is hot. And and any other any local artists out there striving to be on top, definitely look our way, and we'll definitely give you guys a shot, give you an opportunity. To give you some airplay. And again, man, March Madness coming up. I can't wait. Apparently the draft has been pushed back, but I guess I can wait and to kind of find out what's going to go down with that. And baseball season, hockey season right now, my Blackhawks ain't, they're kind of falling off a little bit. I'm not really liking that, but I'm pretty sure they'll bounce back. And Derrick Rose, Chicago Bulls.
Never heard of.
All I can say is, why the hell did you guys get rid of Ding? I really didn't appreciate that. And Derrick Rose, maybe you might want to talk to the government and see if they have some type of bionic program that they could hook you up with. I mean, that
yeah,
might be able to help you out or something. I don't know.
All right, D. Well, we appreciate your call, man, and we appreciate everything else you've done. So, you know, we appreciate you listening. Stay up, man, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys.
All right. That was D. Slayton. He's
the man behind the scenes.
He's the man behind the scenes, the guy who put us up on All Things Sports, so we let him kind of just do what he wants. So we got about, you know, not much show left. We're going to take a real, real quick commercial. We're going to come back. We're going to do our little, at the end of the show, things that we, any sports-related topics that's kind of left over. And then we'll do our weekly rants, and we'll call it a day. Thanks again for joining us. I just realized just now I haven't given out the number all day. But
we're still getting callers,
if
so
you
want to
call down the road, it's, in our last half hour, 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553. We'll take any question on any subject. One quick minute commercial break real quick, and then we'll be back, All Things Sports.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
All right, we're back on All Things Sports in the studio. We moved our studio outdoors. It's a lovely day in Arizona. If you're not here, you should be here. The weather's been unprecedentedly good all winter.
Spring training kicks off
tomorrow.
Spring training
kicks off tomorrow. We will be out at Camelback Ranch
Thursday,
the 27th. If you don't know us, if you listen to the show, come up and say hi. If you don't know us, I am the extremely attractive black man. I'll probably be wearing, I'm a little chubby, but really good looking, and I'll probably be wearing a White Sox T-shirt or jersey of some kind. How would you describe yourself to the fans, Mr. Miller?
Well, based on the description you just gave of yourself, I don't know that anyone's going to be able to find you, but that's neither here nor there. I describe myself as a Dodger fan, 6 foot, 200 pounds, just all rock.
200?
Shredded beef. So, well, 200 when I want to be, but, all kidding aside, we're going to be out there. Man, just can't wait for spring training. Anyone that's never been to spring training, I know we have a nationwide listenership, and you got to get out. I've never been in Florida, but you either got to get to Florida or Arizona, go see some games. You can get close. The players are right there.
You can even
the weather is great.
You can go to the practice fields, watch some practice. The weather's great. Believe it or not, the food at the stadiums are good. Like, depending on what stadium you go to, any kind of beers you want. If you are a single man, there's usually a lot of good-looking women to look at. Like, it's just a good time all the way around. If you haven't done spring training, I've heard people on other stations bash spring training because you don't get to see any of the regulars for a long period of time. But I think it's great. Like, a few years ago.
Get out and enjoy the weather.
Get out, enjoy the weather. You see guys that are up and coming. I'm wearing I didn't wear that shirt, but I have a Gordon Beckham shirt. Me and Chris saw him in his rookie year a few years ago. He's wearing number 80. Had never heard of him other than college. And later on that season, he started second baseman for third baseman at that time for the White Sox. So if you can see your teams, Yasiel
Puig last year, he blew up spring training.
So You'll get to see the up-and-coming stars. It's a really good time. Bring your family, bring your kids. They'll enjoy it. So I feel like the state chamber of commerce should be giving us money for promoting spring training the way we are. But
you know what? I'll be an ambassador for spring training for free. It's really that good. Since I moved to Arizona, it's something I look forward to every year. I try to get as much, I take days off of work. I try to get out there as much as I can. And like we said, this time of year in Arizona is just unbeatable. All you guys in Chicago, we just talked to D. Slade. He wanted to get a lot of Chicago talk in there. All you guys on the East Coast, what are you doing? Not living it up like we are out here. So anyways, we'll stop rubbing it in, but yeah, it's the place to be. So if you can make a trip in March, if you can find a free ticket, if you got some time miles, use them up.
Thoughts on the LeBron's broken nose?
No, shoot, he's got to get the mask on. He's going to look like my man Rip Hamilton. And is he hasn't came back yet, right?
No, he hasn't come back yet.
Yeah, he's going to have to mask up, get his mask form fitted. I mean, LeBron's a tough guy. He's going to be back soon. He'll be back soon. I don't see it affecting him. He's a machine. He's not soft. No one's ever called LeBron soft. That's not going to affect his play. So he'll be ready to go. I don't know. Did you have anything on that?
No, I'm just wondering what you thought. I'm with you. I don't think it'll have any effect. He'll struggle a little bit early just because I've heard that mask is really hard to get adjusted to. And once he gets adjusted, he'll be back to balling out of control like he always does.
He was, I know that kind of derailed him a little bit, but he definitely got back in the MVP talk.
Oh, man.
I know we asked that question a few weeks ago, and it was KD. I got KD.
Well,
MVP, 40-point games.
I think
that was insane.
Going head-to-head with KD and outballing him kind of, if it didn't move him over KD, he's definitely right. But LeBron is exactly like we talked a few years when they gave the MVP to Nash. People are just trying to find reasons not to give it to him year after year after year. They could have gave it to Shaq year after year after year. They could have gave it to Jordan year after year. Like, whenever someone else kind of comes up and has a comparable year, they're going to give it to him because it's no fun if he gets it every year.
If you had a vote, who would you vote today? You got to send it in today.
KD slightly. KD by a hair.
We'll see after game 82.
Well, he's done more. KD's done, Westbrook's been out all year. He's done more with less. Speaking of the NBA, we're talking a few weeks ago about you asked me who the Rockets point guard was, and we talked about Jeremy Lin and
Patrick Beverley,
right? I heard someone come up with something interesting, like, shouldn't they have, and they didn't know this at the time, shouldn't they have taken that, they had Dragic on their roster, instead of getting Dragic, shouldn't they have taken the Lin money and given it to Dragic?
I don't remember what the Suns gave up to get Dragic, but they really wanted him back, and I think they, I don't know if they gave him money or what, but they kind of paid heavily for him, but they obviously didn't see it.
Yeah, they obviously
didn't
see it.
Because if they did, Jeremy Lin was hot at that time, though. I don't think they,
Jeremy
I don't
Lin
think
was
they
never
knew
good.
Jeremy Lin was going to be.
Jeremy Lin was never good. The hype machine got Jeremy Lin.
No doubt he was media created, but he was doing some things, though.
He was doing some things, but
you should have let New York overpay.
Yeah, yeah.
His price was way higher than what he was, and they should have known that. There was a reason he was cut and some different things. I mean, he was what he is today, a backup point guard that's going to get you 10, 12 minutes, and they paid him millions.
Yeah, at that price. Yeah, he's making starter money. He'll never be a starter.
No, that was a bad decision. It's just they kind of made up for it by stealing Harden.
They did steal Harden. No, I was just thinking that, like, someone mentioned it, a Suns fan mentioned it to me, and I was thinking that, like, you're right. Like, Dragic, like, because I think that's not the only position that they're deficient at, but, like, if that team had a point guard like Dragic.
But we're talking title.
We're talking possible title. But anyway, that's the extent of our NBA talk for the week. Once again, we're going to start wrapping it up here. We'd like to thank Deshaun Sheet for calling in and being a part of the show. Really enjoyed the interview.
You ever talked to a Super Bowl champion before? You know Super Bowl champs, right?
I know Super Bowl champs.
Have you but you never talked to them since they got the ring?
Actually, I have talked to a Super Bowl champ.
I got to imagine the local guy, right?
Yeah. Darren Woodson. We went to school together. I'm not name dropping, but I have talked to him. So he's not. I'm not saying he's.
Well,
don't get me wrong, because he's not a close personal friend. But I have talked to a Super Bowl champion in my life.
Well, that was my first time talking to the Super Bowl champ. That was enjoyable. He sounded like a kid. I'm really rooting for him. he definitely has, you know, got that Legion of Boom size, 6'2", 220. You know, depending, you know, I haven't seen him play much. I know he got some time later in the Super Bowl and some stuff, but as a young kid, a 1AA guy, I got a special spot in my heart for all 1AA guys. So he's got a few things going for him that I'll definitely be looking for Deshaun Sheehan to be paying attention at the very least to what he's doing.
Yeah, and
I do wish him the best because he was well spoken. That was a good interview. I like listening.
Well spoken, and you know, we're talking about it during one of the breaks. Like, that's a tough decision to make. Whether you play, you know, you can go somewhere and play right now, or you're going to sit on the practice squad. Like, that's a tough decision. Looks like he made the right one. I don't know if put in that position at that age, if I would have made the same decision. So, you know, kudos to him for making
that. That was interesting to hear, too. He had an hour to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that helped him in the long run.
Right, right.
You don't want to pack up, you know, but like you said, I probably would have taken the active roster. So. He knows more than I do, though.
Yeah, kudos to him, and congratulations on his success that he's had so far. So without further ado, we're going to move into our weekly rant. Miller, you want to go first?
I think I'm going to pass this week. You haven't went first in a few weeks, and your rants are always better than mine, so kick it off.
All right. No, actually, yeah, you did go first last week. All right, so I'll go first this week. My rant is it's, you know, every now and then on All Things Sports, we kind of go off topic. We kind of go off the subject of sports. I'm going to talk about politics and how it relates to sports in the long run. Those of us who have lived in Arizona for a while can remember back to when NFL held us hostage for the Super Bowl because we wouldn't pass MLK Day. It was a stain on Arizona. It made us look bad. It made us lose the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's one of those things that I remember. Also remember when they passed the Sheriff Joe, I won't call it illegal search and seizure, but the probable cause law where you could search and seize someone just on possibility that they're an alien. That, another black mark on Arizona, probably lost us some tourism dollars, made us look bad in the press. And now the NFL has to come out and publicly say that they don't condone this new religious freedom bill. Even Republican senators are back, the ones who signed off of the bill are backtracking, saying it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea, not just from the standpoint of how it looks on the stage. It's not just a bad standpoint on the fact that, you know, it's going to lose us dollars in tourism and things like that, but it's just a horrible law. It's typical Arizona. I love living here. I love this state. I love my city. However, we do some dumb things every now and then, and this is just another sign of our legislation getting in the way of what makes good sense for us as people, what makes good sense for us, you know, economically, and just, hell, something that just doesn't make good sense. Hopefully, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in Jan Brewer, but hopefully she'll do the right thing and veto this bill. Because not only is it a bad bill, it's dumb, and you know, I don't want to get too deep into it. I'm probably too personally tied to it, but it's just a bad idea for the state. That's all I got. Miller, what you got?
Yeah, I you know, just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, I'm surprised they let this stuff get as far as they do. There's some weird politics in the state of Arizona. And
we're the only state that has to go through this all the time. There's always some bad legislation on our part that – But anyway,
I don't do a lot of news watching, so I haven't seen, you know, I've heard some stuff about it, you know, being on CNN and some different things, but, you know, I do a lot of reading of the news, and just the bad press that it's already created, I feel like some of the damage has already been done.
Right.
You know, they're threatening to take away different events down the road, and for me, I just, yeah, just veto the bill, and let's move on. Stop carrying these type of things out. And stop letting the media get a hold of it.
And there's no benefit. There's no benefit to that. Exactly. Just veto it and move on. There's no benefit of letting it linger this long. The more you let it linger, the more bad press you get. And you know, I know at one point they were talking about up here at University of Phoenix Stadium setting it up to try to get a Final Four. If we lose the Final Four because of something like this, could you imagine the dollars we lose? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
No sense. So, yeah, and then, like you said, I hear you. I want to start getting into politics when we start talking like this, and I want to tell you my position on Jan Brewer and different things like that, and I'll save everybody from that. But yeah, just take care of business, and let's get this on the back burner because, you know, we just got done in Town AZ, and it's all the positives we got going on out here, and we got these nice venues here that we can hold these events in and different things, and don't let them go to waste. Anyways, we'll get off the politics thing, and I'm gonna go into my rant, and it's a hockey rant. I don't know that we've ever talked hockey on this show. If we have, I don't remember. D. Slade brought a little hockey up. He wanted to talk Blackhawks, but anyways, my rant is I was able to catch I caught the Canada USA game in the Olympics, and also caught some of the bronze in the gold medal game, and with the pro players. And my argument is, I think we got to get the pro players out of the Olympics. It's stopping the NHL season. We had a few guys go out with injuries, season-long things. And for me, it's too long. The World Baseball Classic is preseason, so they're able to get that in. You can't take a pro sports league and break. You can't break for 2-3 weeks. It's not fair. It's not fair to the fans of that league, and it draws the season out too long. We should already be – the game should have been played at this time. And for me, and for the rest of this country, I know this is not Canada, hockey needs all the momentum it can get. I don't think we benefit from seeing the NHL players in there. I think hockey was more exciting when you had the U.S. team with the amateurs going against Russia's you know, big guns and different things like that. And I think you got to let amateurism back into hockey. See, with basketball, it's different. It's benefited the whole – it became more global, where with hockey, it's the same teams every year. If you took the pros out of it, it would still be the same teams. You'd still have the same results. So just get rid of them. And really, long story short is, from what I've heard and read, I think this was the last Olympics with the pros. And so really I just wanted to say I hope they do go away with the pros. And – you know, Gary Bettman, I know he's going to have a lot to say about that, but I think the original thought was it was going to benefit the NHL, and I think from now that we've had it for about 3 or 4 Olympics, I think from what I know, I think it's taken away from the NHL, and, you know, I'm someone that I like to attend hockey games. I feel like hockey season's over. I haven't heard about any, you know, there's no hockey now. And really, for a 2-week tournament where you're losing guys for the season and changing the outcome of a professional sport, just get rid of them. All the other Olympic sports that allow pros are in the off season or preseason or different things like that, where it doesn't affect the middle of the season where they just have to take it off. So, anyways, long story short, hockey, let your players play in the NHL if they're already signed to play pro. Now, if you're in the Russian Hockey League, then you can join up. But if you're in the NHL, you got to stay home.
All right. That is probably officially the most hockey talk we've had on All Things Sports. So, good deal. Real quick.
I mean, I had nothing. That's what it comes down to.
I want to get into, before we go, on the message board this past week, I had an argument with some Diamondbacks fans. This isn't a rant, but I'll say this real quick. I said it on the message board, and I'll say it on the air. Name me one other team. I'll ask you, Chris. Is there another team in baseball or any sport who gets outdrawn in their own park as often as the Diamondbacks? Like, we've been to Diamondbacks Dodger games.
Yes,
like,
there is.
Who is it?
Tampa Bay.
All right. Is that it?
They're real similar. Yeah, that's all I got. But I think both teams.
But let me put it this way: in a city this large, in a major market, does that happen? Does that happen in San Francisco, L.A., New York, Chicago, heck, Minnesota? Like, does that happen anywhere else in any other major market? Atlanta.
Does it happen in Atlanta? No, it doesn't, and it is embarrassing to go out to Diamondback games. I mean, I guess I see the bad parts of it because I usually go when they're playing the Giants or the Dodgers. But why do you think that is? Why They still have a they have a good TV following. They get decent ratings.
I think that just like I mean, this is kind of the crux. The only team that here that's not like that is the Suns. Like, there's a lot of the Suns have been
the
here.
The Cardinals have kind of quelled it a little bit.
The Cardinals have quelled it a little bit, but you know, most people are here. I'm from somewhere else. You're from somewhere else. And when you know that time comes, as much as I do like, I actually. And I think people on like on the Mets board kind of got me wrong. I don't dislike the Diamondbacks. The point I was making is that, you know, when the Diamondbacks, you know, that 2010 when the White Sox were here for three games, of course I'm going to wear White Sox stuff and go out there. And my point was, for as little as we come here, we outdrew them. Anytime a major like you got Chicago teams outdrawn, the California teams outdrawn. They just don't have a good fan base, and I think the reason is because this is kind of, I won't say a transitional place, but like I said, people come in from other places. It's and the Diamondbacks have no real history.
Well, they've won a World Series, though, so you would think that would help a little bit. But I would argue that winning would quell all that. I mean,
would quell all of that.
Right, they have to win, and that's what I was going to say. They got to win back-to-back,
yeah.
You know, three, four seasons in a row. And maybe they can't do that here. I don't.
No, I think, and I don't want to get into a White Sox rant, but I will say this for the Diamondbacks: they do a good job for their market. Every 3 or 4 years, they have to tear down and build back up.
They've got a star now,
yeah.
Which I can't. I've been out here since 2006, and I can't. This is the first star that they've had. I mean, you can argue just nothing, but. He wasn't
too inconsistent.
Yeah, he just wasn't consistent. He seems to get, even with Atlanta this year, he seems to get banged up every year. And not that that's a knock. I mean, baseball's a grind or whatever, but he seems to get hurt every year and just can't stay healthy. So Goldschmidt's going to be in the middle of that order for a long time.
He'll be big time, too. He's a good player.
And if the Diamondbacks let him go, that'll be a disaster because you're not going to get somebody like that again.
No, and you know, from everything I've heard, he's good in the clubhouse. He's good in the community. You can't let guys like that walk. You gotta even
well, maybe
when
they, that's a start for him.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look on the bright side,
right?
Mr. Negative.
See, and that's what they were hitting me with on the message board. Like, I'm not trying to be negative towards the Diamondbacks. I know it sounds like that. Every now and then I make a joke. I call them the D-bags, but
oh, you know my distaste. There's not a team in sports that I dislike more.
Well, you're a Dodger fan.
They could be playing the Oakland A's and I'm rooting against them.
You wanted to swim in their pool, too. Like, you wanted to.
Oh, if I'd have been there, I may have tried to get arrested that night and jump the fence.
Jump the fence and jump in the pool with
Rafael, I would have been speaking Spanish and everything trying to get in there. But.
All right. That's all we got. It's another good week on All Things Sports. We appreciate you guys who are out there listening. You're out there listening. Keep listening. If you're listening and you like it, tell your friends. We're trying to get, like I say, every week, we're trying to get the fan base up. We have an outro?
Yeah, man. Get the illest back on there.
All right.
We finally got a good song to play. Give this man his due.
All right. It is a good song. I heard it yesterday, and I really liked it. So we clowned our last intro, so this one's going to be good. But all right. We'll see you next week on All Things Sports. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to Sean Sheed. We're out. We'll see you next week.
Shout out boy G-Lake. It's your boy Joyce Jordan Ellis. The DR show, man. Okay, it's all.